You have an like brilliant LLM, but it's working with the stale or noisy data. The output will obviously fall apart. So the POC is really about treating AI data pipelines with same rigor we would apply to any production data pipeline.
You're listening to the Data Flowcast, the podcast about Apache Airflow and the world of data and AI around it. We are excited to invite you to Orchestrate Everything, our free online conference on September 16th. Engineering leaders from Lyft, Ramp, and Wix will share how they're shipping production AI workflows on Airflow. Plus a crash course for the new Astronomer Certified AI Orchestration Fundamentals exam. Attendees get a discount code for a free certification, a $150 value. Go to astronomer.link/data-flowcast-oe, link in the show notes. Now, let's get into the show.
All right. Hi, everyone. Welcome to the Data Flowcast. I'm your host, Kenton Danis, and today I'm joined by Chandan Gowda, who is a data engineer at Axion Labs. Chandan, how are you?
Hey, Kenton. So I'm good, and thanks for having me here. I'm really excited to be here, and I have been a listener of this show quite a while, and it feels a bit surreal to actually be on the other side of the mic. Thank you for having me.
Yeah, that's great. Well, I love to hear that. And it's so great to have you on. We'll go ahead and dive into it. So for our listeners for today's podcast, we're going to talk about how Axion Labs uses Airflow across their client projects, including a financial scoring use case and some early work on AI pipeline orchestration. So both some pretty cool topics. But before we get into all of that, I want to start with some background. Maybe you can tell me about the company you work for. What does Axion Labs do?
Sure. So Axion Labs is a technology consulting and services firm, and we essentially help businesses to solve the complex IT and data challenges. You can think of us like a partner that comes in, understands the client pain points, and then design and build the solutions around the modern data and AI technologies. So we also work across industries like BFSI, healthcare, retail. So as we are a consulting firm, the problems will vary. So, which honestly keep things really interesting day by day. We get a new things to solve.
Yeah, very cool. I used to work in consulting myself, so I relate to the idea of being able to work on different projects and how that keeps things interesting. And so tell me a little bit more then about your role and the kinds of projects that you typically work on.
Yeah, so earlier, I started as a data engineer. So as you know, the technologies will be changing, and we will be evolving with the market. So currently I'm associated with data itself, but quite more occupied with the Gen AI things. So you can call me as a Gen AI data engineer for now. So my work sits right at the intersection of data engineering and AI, where I have to build some pipelines in 1 week, and another week I will be working on the RAG based AI agents, like developing some internal tools for our internal purposes. And it will be all together, it's like orchestration plus AI. So I need to make sure that data moves reliably and model gets fed with the right inputs, and everything runs on schedule without someone babysitting it. So everything needs to be automated. So everyone are fascinating. And yeah, I'm also thinking to automate all the things, which is absolutely possible with the AI today. So yeah, that's pretty much about my role.
Yeah, that's great. That sounds, yeah, very interesting. And where does Airflow typically fit into that, either with the data engineering piece or maybe the AI engineering piece? I guess we'll get a little bit more into that in the later in the interview. But yeah, high level, where are you typically using Airflow with your client work?
Airflow is a savior for us in orchestration things, the data thing. So while we are doing the data pipelining at the time, Airflow will help us with orchestrating, bringing the data, and we can use the triggers so to fetch the data, do some transformations and put it back. So there we use Airflow for now. We will talk about this when I specifically explain about the projects.
Yeah, absolutely. And I'm curious, is Airflow something that you are typically recommending, or do your clients come in asking for it, or both, maybe?
I can say like it's a mix.
Nice.
So honestly, some clients come who are already using the Airflow and they wanted to scale it up. And there are others who are like just wanted to evaluate the options, and we will assess what is their requirements and we will suggest them what fits the best. But in most cases, once we lay out the options, so Airflow will win, obviously. So especially for the clients who need a fine-grained control over their pipeline logic and they don't want to be locked in into a single cloud provider's ecosystem. So at that time, Airflow is a savior. So we recommend that. It's like Airflow is not a new thing, you know, right? So it was created by the Maxima Bochyman, who's a founder like at Airbnb, and it is obviously open source and it has around 30 millions of downloads per month. So which is like it's easy to convince the clients if they really don't know what is Airflow and they wanted to integrate it into their systems. So yeah, if when we show all of these details and we shows how it solves the pain points, client will be obviously happy with the solution we will be implementing with the Airflow.
Yeah, totally makes sense. I think the popularity of the project in some ways speaks for itself. And so you mentioned having, the flexibility of not being locked into a certain cloud, as well as, preferring having the control and sort of lower overhead compared to maybe a cloud native tool. Tell me a little bit more about that. Kind of where do you think Airflow really stands out in that area over other orchestrators?
We can say like if we speak about the AWS step functions or Azure Data Factory, they are all great only if they are in the cloud. So we cannot pull them in locally and we cannot do the orchestration locally. But the moment a client says we might move to a different cloud in 2 years, or if we wanted to go for the other technologies or other clouds, so at that time we will be in trouble. So shifting the things from let's say from Microsoft to AWS, there is a lot of pain points. It requires a huge efforts and we have to understand the infrastructure and all, but the ma magic comes here. So when we use the Airflow, so it's like infrastructure agnostic. So you can containerize it and you can deploy it on Kubernetes or even in the VM. It just works. We just need to containerize it and we can deploy it anywhere. So this gives us flexibility to use Airflow. Even we are migrating to a different cloud or ecosystems, it will be easy.
Yeah, totally makes sense, and certainly consistent with what we've heard from our own customer base at Astronomer for why people choose Airflow. Yeah, very cool. So I would love to then dig into a couple of the specific use cases that you've implemented with your clients that are, heavily use Airflow as the orchestrator. One that I know you've worked on recently is a loan eligibility scoring use case. So maybe you can start by telling me a little bit more about that. What was that project about?
Sure. So this one was one of the most concrete Airflow use case I worked on. So basically, the client was a financial services company. They needed a score loan applicants for eligibility in the real time. So the challenge was that the new applicant data was arriving continuously. It's like a streaming data. So it was coming from different multiple sources and the scoring models were downstream. So we need to manage the trigger. So even if we fail to trigger the pipelines within the specified times, we would lose the data. So at that time, we needed to use the airflow. So airflow before airflow, we were using manually. We were doing it manually. So we have to set some cron jobs, and it's like a fragile thing. It can break any time. So then we thought of airflow, and we got to know about, like, if we use the airflow, how flexible it is and how convenient it can be. So we replaced the entire stack with a clean airflow DAG. So that handles the ingestion, transformation, model inference, and also the result delivery completely from end to end. So everything is managed by the airflow. So by this, we reduce the efforts nearly around 25%. So we came from 100% to 25% efforts reduction. So this was a very what we can say, great change that client was very happy with this. And from that onwards, we don't want to get up in the midnight and check whether the pipeline is working or not. It has failed. Something has broken. It is like a pain point for even our developers or supporting engineers. So Airflow helped us in that point, and from that onwards, we encountered very minimal breaks, and everything was smooth like a butter.
Yeah, that's great. What a great Airflow success story. And then I'm curious, so based on the use case, how are you scheduling these pipelines? So are you doing more event driven so that when, eligibility needs to be determined, that the pipeline is actually running, or is it scheduled? How does that work?
Great question. So this is where, like, I can say Airflow really shines. So we use the combination approach. The primary trigger was file sensor based. So we have a component like Airflow's flow file sensor. So, we have a S3 file sensor pulse. So any new data arriving at a specific location, the moment the batch file lands, the sensor task goes green, and the rest of the DAG kicks off automatically. So we also add a schedule fallback also if there is no new data arrived by some time. So there must be some problem, so the sensor could not pick it up. So at that time, we had to manage the backup also. So we had the scheduled backup, which would run for a certain time. And if there is something in the queue, it could pick up, and it's like both. It's not like purely event driven, or it's like not morely like a scheduled one also. It's like combination. But I can say the sensor based trigger was handling about 90% of our runs, so it was successful.
Yeah, that's great. And I think testament to the scheduling flexibility of Airflow that you're able to manage even the backup solution pretty easily, it sounds like. Yeah,
Yeah.
that's really cool. And then, so once that DAG or maybe multiple DAGs kick off, what does the end-to-end flow look like within Airflow? So once that data arrives all the way to, you've got those eligibility scores landing back in the target system, what's happening in the middle there?
It's like a pretty clean pipeline. So once you see it laid out, so step one is ingestion. So Airflow pulls the raw applicant records from the source system into our data lake. And after pulling that, step two starts. So step two is like a validation and transformations. So we check for the nulls, duplicates, and anything that requires attention, and we'll apply our business rules and join in reference data. Like we will be sourcing some third-party data also, so like credit bureau scores for passing on to the model for scorings. So that things on all we were doing the step two, and step three was like model inference tags. So this was calling our scoring models, and which runs in a separate containerized environment, and it passes back the eligibility scores and the supporting features which we require for assessing the candidate. So after this has been done, the step four was like writing back the scores into the client's loan management system. So we have done the scoring, we have done the analysis, and we need to report it back to the client. So we have to give him in a database. So we had a database where we were appending the results. So throughout all this, Airflow is tracking the task states, and it has been retrying the failed task automatically. And if it is also sending the alerts if again something was breaking. So I can say that Airflow sensors are like special operators that pause the DAG until a certain condition is met. So they were like mostly used for event-driven triggers, and we also had some poke interval and timeout on sensors towards some of the zombie tasks, so that if a task sits in a running state indefinitely, it would cause other tasks to be in the queues. So we had set some timeout so that if something is running for an infinite time, it used to poke mode, and it used to free up that worker load from that checks. So yeah, so like this our whole flow looks.
Yeah, that's great. What a cool use case for Airflow.
This episode is brought to you by Astronomer, the team behind Astro, a managed Airflow platform built for data engineering teams. From batch pipelines to training models and wiring up agents, Astro handles the infrastructure, upgrades, and scaling so you can focus on building. Check it out at astronomer.io.
Okay, well, changing topics a little bit to another use case I know you've implemented. I mentioned at the beginning that we would talk about using Airflow for AI orchestration, obviously a very hot topic right now that we're seeing more and more of. And I understand you've been working on a POC around this. Maybe first tell me, what is the problem that you're trying to solve here?
Yeah, this is the one I'm most excited to talk about right now. So the problem statement is like, as we are building more on GenAI and RAG-based application internally, and some of them for the clients also. So we realize that the data feeding into these models is just as critical as model itself. See, a model is, you can think as a baby. So what you teach the baby is what the baby learns. So if you feed him good data, he will speak good and he will be good. If you have teach him the bad things, he will learn the bad things and they will do the bad things. So that re we realize while we are doing the POC. And you have an like brilliant LLM, but it's working with the stale or noisy data. The output will obviously fall apart. So the POC is really about treating AI data pipelines with same rigor we would apply to any production data pipeline. And we used Airflow as the orchestrator to whatever way the data we are getting, we were not directly feeding it to the model, or even if we are not training with the noisy data or what we get directly. We used Airflow, we did some transformations, and then we put that data to the AI model so that it works as expected.
Yeah, that's great. I love that you mentioned treating these pipelines like you would any other pipeline. This is something that my team at Astronomer has been talking about a lot recently, just the importance of orchestration in general for the same reasons that it's important for ETL pipelines when you're dealing with AI pipelines. And then, so I understand that part of the goal, as you mentioned, is controlling the data that gets fed into the models. Tell me more about what role Airflow plays with that specifically.
Okay, you can think of it this way. So in a RAG pipeline, you have a knowledge base that needs to stay fresh. So knowledge base in the sense, the data lake you can imagine. So it has to be fresh, and the documents get updated, like the new ones will be added or the old ones will get relevanted. And also there are some cases where we need to update the documents. So whatever we do, like the data keeps changing, and the models should be updated with the updated data. So we are we cannot do this without like what we can say without orchestration tools. We cannot refresh all the times. We cannot refresh the knowledge base, and even the refreshing thing is very expensive. So that too, while you are running the models and you are doing a refresh, it costs huge. So with Airflow, we can build a tag that detects the document changes, rechunks, and re-embeds only what's changed, and it will update the vector store instead of doing a whole refresh or a whole a change of the documents or the knowledge base. It only picks up what is changed, and it only rechunks it, and it only re-embeds what is needed. Again, we are cutting costs at the vector embedding models, and like this we will validate the quality, and we will have some threshold set and therefore, so if the threshold goes below, then obviously we are not going to process the data. We will stop that. If it is met, then we are going to switch it to the we will be connecting it to the live system. So it's totally controlled, auditable, and even you can roll back if something goes wrong. That audit right is something you just don't get with ad hoc scripts. So that's where again Airflow shines.
Yeah, absolutely. That traceability aspect or the reliability and monitoring is so important. So tell me if this POC goes well, kind of where do you see this going in the future?
Yeah, the vision is basically like a full MLOps style orchestration layer for GenAI workloads. Right now, we are focused on the data freshness problem, keeping like embeddings and context current. But the next natural step is model evaluation pipelines, triggering automated evaluations whenever the underlying knowledge base changes, flagging regressions before they hit production. And beyond that, we are looking for a multi-agent orchestration where Airflow manages the sequencing of different AI agents, and each will be responsible for a specific task in the larger workflow. It's like a genuinely exciting territory. And Airflow 2.x introduced that task flow API, which makes it much more cleaner to pass data between tasks using XCons. So for AI pipelines, this is very powerful, and you can pass the embeddings, retrieved context chunks, or model scores between the DAG tags as like Python objects. And additionally, the Airflow community has published provider packages for LangChain, OpenAI, and Hugging Faces, which making a stride forward to trigger model inference or embedding generation directly from the Airflow operators rather than going to the third parties.
Yeah, absolutely. There's so much great work going on in the Airflow project to make it more usable for AI and agent orchestration, all the providers you mentioned, and now the new Common AI provider as well, which makes it very generally easy to interact with any model. So that's so cool to hear how you're making use of that already. I think that's a good segue into my standard final question for all of my guests, which is what would you most like to see from the Airflow project in the near future?
Yeah, so honestly, a few things come to my mind, and number one is better native support for event-driven triggers beyond polling sensors, something like true pub sub integration at the core, not just via workarounds. Like the new Airflow 3.0 dataset-aware scheduling moves into that direction, and I'm really watching that closely and hoping for that. And number two is like first-class observability of for the AI workloads, things like token usage tracking, model latency histograms, and embeddings drift detection built into the Airflow UI rather than needing to stitch together external monitoring tool. So if we get everything under the one UI, so that will be a great thing. And third one is like I would love to see a better dynamic DAG generation at scale. So the current dynamic task mapping is great, but when you have hundreds of dynamically generated tasks, the UI will get wild. So it's like more ergonomic grouping and filtering at that scale would be like a big quality of life improvement. So I'm hoping it when Apache Airflow 3.0, which is in active development, so it will be bringing more changes and a fully decoupled DAG processor, improved data set driven scheduling, and redesigned REST APIs. So these will help us in better task execution isolation. So again, the data set concept aligns closely with the event-driven data pipelines and is a key step towards data-aware orchestration, exactly what modern AI pipelines needed. So if we have these all things, I think there is no better choice than Airflow.
Yeah, that's great. Those are all good answers. And I can see where, especially the data sets are now assets, they're called in Airflow 3, and the event-driven scheduling would be very useful for both of the use cases that you've talked about in this interview. So, yeah, definitely lots of stuff to look forward to in the project. Okay, well, Chandan, it's been so great speaking with you. Thank you for sharing your experience with Airflow. I always love talking to folks who get to work with lots of different projects and implementing Airflow because you get to see so many different implementations and yeah, the kind of wide variety of things it's useful for. Just to close this out, what is the best way for folks to get in touch with you?
So to get in touch with me, LinkedIn is the best place. Just search for Chandan Gowda, data engineer at Axion Labs, and you will find me. I'm always happy to connect with the folks who are working on the data pipelines, GenAI, or orchestration challenges. Just feel free to drop a message.
Okay, great. Well, we will throw a link to your LinkedIn in the show notes for sure so people can find it. Okay, well, thank you again for joining us today. It's been really great speaking with you.
Thank you for listening to the Data Flowcast. Check the show notes for links to everything mentioned today. If you're enjoying the podcast, subscribe so you never miss an episode. And leave us a 5-star review.